In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson this morning and our psalm lead very well into our gospel. In Genesis, we find Jacob wrestling with God. A couple of things stand out to me in that reading. The first, it says, Jacob was left alone. The word alone. I think Jacob felt lost. Jacob felt empty. Jacob was hurting and searching for something in his life that he did not have and he could not find. And God knows we've all been there. We'll be there again. He then wrestled with this man, wrestled, I believe, with God. In its own way, I think this is prayer. This could really be my own prayer life. Because many times my prayer life seems to be a struggle. I don't know exactly what to say. I don't know exactly what to do. I can often be at a loss for words. I wish I could stand here this morning and tell you that prayer just flows from my lips and from my mind with no problem at all. But often it doesn't. And one other thing in this reading, God changes his name from Jacob to Israel. The Hebrews believed in what was known as the power of the name. Your name said who you were. Your name said who you serve. For God to change Jacob's name to Israel says God has power over him, that God is the main power, the main focus in his life from that moment on. Also, I think your name says something about who you are too. My name now is David. That's what you call me, and that's what I like to be called. When I went back to Sewanee last week, they wrote Dave. Dave on my name tag. That's what I was called in college, but I'd forgotten about that. You really could call me now Brother Dave. You got to be old to understand that one, too. But now I'm David. I'm David, not a Dave. In the beautiful words of Psalm 121 that we just paraphrased, I to the hills will lift mine eyes, from whence shall come my aid? My help is from the Lord above, who heaven and earth hath made. That's a psalm that's read many, many times at funerals. And it's a prayer, a real prayer of trust. And notice too, it's framed as a question. Where does my help come from? Then he goes on to say, my help comes from the Lord. That's confidence. That's strength. And that's faith in the face of death. These both lead to the gospel this morning. And here we find this widow pleading with this judge saying, grant me justice against my opponent. I can sort of close my eyes and see her standing there, probably a small little woman, standing beneath this big bench. And on this big bench is this judge. And I picture him as an old man. An old man with a sort of a scowl on his face, looking down with disdain on this woman. And he's no ordinary judge. Not one who treats people fairly. He's tough. He's mean. He doesn't respect God or other people, and he's proud of it. I can picture him thinking only of himself and no one else. Not caring a thing about her. And here's this widow. Widows had no standing whatsoever back then. Women had very little. This widow had even less. Yet she's bold. She's brash. She keeps demanding her justice. She keeps bugging him. And finally he gives in. I would think probably pulling his hair out. And he says, okay, okay. And he grants her justice. She finally wears him down. And I'll bet it galled him. I'll bet it really galled him to do so, to give in to this little old lady who just kept bugging him and bugging him and bugging him. The gospel is about persistence. About persistence in prayer, about not giving up, about hanging in there. And God knows we've all known and felt this. I know two or three things come to mind about prayer as I'm writing this. First, I think about prayer as how we make prayer in general. Most of the time when you and I pray, we're asking for something. Something we want to happen. Something we want God to do for us. Many times we try and bargain with God. Say, God, I will do this if you will do that. I'll never forget going to Seagrove a few years ago with some friends of ours. We all bought lottery tickets. We were sitting around and talking about what we'd do when we won all that money. The first thing we said, if we win, we will give 50% to the church. About 30 or 45 minutes later, we said, we'll give 25% to the church. As the night went on, about 10:30 or 11, we said, let's give 10% to the church. That's what it says in the Bible to do. We were trying to bargain with God that if God would just do this, we would do that. In its own way, it's a form of prayer. Our gospel this morning, it was about a different kind of prayer. It's about an openness, an honesty with God that opens our life to God and all that God is. It's persistent and it doesn't give up. Persistence, too, is a lot like bugging. We're not persistent. We don't bug people we don't like, that we don't care about, that don't mean anything to us. Abraham feels very close to God. That's why he can stand there in Genesis and sort of bug God. Be persistent with God that he not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. If God could just find some righteous people there. He felt close to God. He loved God. Therefore, he could bug God. Our children, our spouses can bug us and be persistent with us, and we can bug them. Most of the time when you look at it, we bug those we love the most. We bug those we love because we're the closest to them. We're not persistent with people we don't care about, with people who don't mean anything to us. We just don't care. We don't care what they do, where they go, or how they act. That's why we can be persistent with God. We love God, and we know God loves us and wants the best for us. Sometimes, though, in prayer, it seems as if no one is there. We can be persistent, we can bug, and we can pray and pray, but sometimes it feels like no one cares or even hears. I can tell you it's happened to every single person sitting here this morning, and it will happen again. And when it happens, it hurts. You look at the apostles. They're in this boat with Jesus, and this terrible storm comes up, and they're scared. They're scared they're going to die, and Jesus is sleeping. He's sleeping back at the back of the boat. And they run back there, they wake him up, and they say, Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing? That's a prayer. They're bugging Jesus. That's a prayer of desperation. It's one we've all prayed. I think we see Jesus himself hanging on that cross with blood and sweat running down his face, and he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? I think I feel closer to Christ at that time than any other time in his life. We've all knocked on that door of prayer, and had no answer. But we still have to pray. And prayer basically is an openness, a oneness with God. I've talked about Brother Lawrence before, but Brother Lawrence has truly influenced my own prayer life. He basically says, do not burden yourself with rules for private devotion. Get used to gradually offering your heart to God wherever you are. Brother Lawrence saw everything. Everything is an act of worship, an opportunity for the holy and the sacramental to enter our lives. So always be open to God and God's presence in your life, in the lives of those around you. Prayer with a God is basically a conversation, an open, honest conversation. So always be honest. Throw in anything you want. Be like that widow. Don't pull any punches in telling God what you think, what you feel, or what you need. Be persistent because you love God and God loves you. And always know and always trust that something will happen. It's like Anne Lamott says, the best prayer she knows is, help me, help me, help me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen.